Welcome back to the American Journal. Happy Monday, everyone. We're at the third hour of the show with two of my favorite guests. Huva Fry will be joining me in just a moment. Talk J6 pipe bomber. Does he believe it? Because I don't believe it. And I'm sure you guys at home don't believe it either, but we will get his take on all of the very latest in regards to that. Plus, Mark Mitchell will also be joining the show as well in just a bit. Because President Trump, well, his approval numbers when it comes to his job, his overall job numbers, those have completely plummeted. I'm hearing that they're going to actually hit the 30 range later today. That's what's expected to happen over at Rasmussen Reports. So we're going to bring him in to talk about just that. So a lot underway there. But in case you missed it, I wanted to play this clip because there's a really interesting new update in regards to the Havana syndrome. Now, as many of you guys may have heard about this, I'm sure you guys did if you're watching InfoWars, of course. A lot of federal employees working overseas were victims of the Havana syndrome. And one of them actually joined Catherine Heritage in the latest update, her story in clip 12. Take a listen.
Christy, who asked us not to use her real name to protect her identity, was on assignment for the Defense Department in 2015 when she says she was attacked by a directed energy weapon. Since, her brain injury continues to get worse.
You've seen my brain scans, and so every couple years, more of my brain is, you know, gone. I wanted to come and speak to you with you on camera to preserve what I can while I can before I entirely disappear.
We sat down with Christy, who told us the attack happened at a hotel in the former Yugoslavia, and the attack unfolded like a spy novel.
The last night I was there, I was followed.
What happened next?
When I got back to the hotel, there was someone in the lobby that was a different person that I just noted and thought was creepy. And outside of my hotel room door, there was a service panel on the wall right outside my door. The service panel door was open about an inch or an inch and a half. I didn't look in it. I just noticed that it was open. I didn't touch it. And ahead of me at the end of the hall, to the left, was a stairwell door, and the door was swinging shut as though somebody had just gone through the door.
This is the elevator.
Yeah. Okay. And that's my room.
Christy showed us this hotel floor plan and suspects the attack was triggered from a service panel in the hotel hallway.
What happened inside your room?
When I got on my computer, instead of sort of firing up normally, it just got blue and yellow static. Big zigzag static, and then it got what they call the blue screen of death.
Were you attacked by a directed energy weapon?
Yes.
No question in your mind?
No.
Is there a classified report about the incident?
Yes.
Where is the classified report?
DIA has it.
The Defense Intelligence Agency?
I believe so, yes.
When you got back to the United States, were you hospitalized?
Yes. I was really sick when I got back. I was, you know, back and forth to the doctor all the time.
Were you in the ICU?
Yes. I was in the ICU for probably 5 days or so. I was in the hospital for about 2 weeks.
All right, if you want to see the full interview, Catherine Heritage has done an incredible job at outlining just that. For you, it's about a 17-minute video, but she's been doing this extensively over the last few months now, digging into all of this and speaking with those who have been badly damaged by Savannah syndrome. And of course, our federal government's very, very quiet on the subject matter. But there are several federal employees who have been abroad and who have or who believe that they suffer from this. So definitely worth your attention, folks. In the meantime, I want to remind you before we kick off the third hour of the show by heading over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. The creatine gummies, we just kicked those off. They're on sale over at thealexjonesstore.com right now. We also, for today's sale, have 40% off colostrum. Many of you guys know we've been out of stock on that. Well, we're back in stock because it's one of our top selling items. And it is on sale today for 40% off. That sale's not going to last forever. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
We are live, still on air, despite all the admissions of the CIA, the FBI, the DOJ, hundreds of millions of dollars spent trying to shut us down. But despite that, because you, the activist audience in the arena, stood with us with your word of mouth, your prayer, and your financial support, we have not only persevered, we have not only overcome, but we have dominated.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. Visit InfoWars.com today.
The spirit of victory lives in InfoWars. And InfoWars is more than a URL. It is more than this building. It is the people of America and the world becoming awake and standing up and rising and demanding liberty and freedom in the animating contest in the war against the tyrants.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're going to kick off the third hour of this show with Viva Fry in just a few moments. First, I want to catch you up on some headlines. Remember at the beginning of the show, I told you all that the White House was going to be holding a roundtable discussion around 2 p.m. Eastern time. Well, it looks like we might know what that's going to be about. President Trump is slated to roll out a $12 billion farm aid package. That's according to one White House official who apparently spoke with The Hill. The aid includes $11 billion in one-time payments to crop farmers as part of the Department of Agriculture's Farm Bridge Assistance Program. The remaining $1 billion are going towards crops that have not been covered by the program itself. President Trump will announce the aid package along with the Treasury Secretary and the Agriculture Secretary as well. White House events is expected to be attended by farmers of the soybean industry, corn, rice, cattle, potato, and other obviously industries. Now, this has been a major focus for President Trump, who is trying his best to force the Chinese to purchase our soybeans, of course, to kind of spark up our industries. But although they've committed to it recently, they haven't really done much on that front. So we're keeping our eye on that. That's expected to happen at the White House later today, it sounds like, around 2 p.m. Eastern time. So we will keep our eyes on that as it develops and, of course, bring you the very latest. All right. So I want to talk to you guys about, I think it's very, very interesting. I want to talk to you guys about the J6 pipe bomber story, because the mainstream media was very happy when they were able to somehow kind of pivot. When they learned that he's white, he wasn't white. They weren't very happy about this. When they learned he was black, they tried their very best to find a new angle in all of this. And miraculously, CNN and the final hours of all of this on Friday found a way to spin it. Now, they're claiming that the suspect believes that the 2020 election was somehow stolen. Take a listen to clip 14, because they're doing their very, very best to spin this narrative.
The suspect, the young man who'd been arrested on this case at length over the last 24 hours. And what we've learned is that among the statements that he has made is that he believed the 2020 election was stolen. And so that appears to be the first statement that has been made in this case that might give an indication of a motive of why he may have placed these bombs in those locations.
Okay, so they're searching for this motive. They are trying their very best to figure out how could they could spin this, because Brian Cole Jr., the man who is accused of being the J6 pipe bomber, doesn't fit the narrative. And in fact, they're doing their very best to try to spin it, like I mentioned. But take a listen to clip 15, because CNN went full meltdown mode when they couldn't accuse him of being a white MAGA supporter. Take a listen.
Maybe he put a bomb at the DNC because he believed the Democrats stole the election, because Republicans and conspiracy theorists pushed that. And he put the bomb at the RNC because the vice president, who was about to be sworn in, was going to ride by that area. There are many scenarios that the prosecution will have to play out this case. But I'm going to say the thing out loud. that I think everyone is not saying and is actually surprised, and why I think Jeanine Pirro is actually saying it. I think the fact that this man is a black man is surprising to people. I think people thought this was going to be a white man that did this. They were going to be able to say he was a part of the progressive left. And the fact that it's a black man that is saying, I too was susceptible to conspiracy theorists that the president and conservative podcasters were pushing that this election was stolen, is a fact that they were not expecting, and now everyone is on their heels and they're trying to spin it. And I think that might be also why you think, let's not believe his actual story right now.
Like, he's trying to get both sides. Possible.
I mean,
Man, they are trying their very best. Joining me to discuss is Viva Fry. He does an incredible show on Rumble, which I'm a big fan of course, because I do make a lot of appearances on the show, of course, but it's also an incredible show to watch. He's a former litigator as well. And he's with us now to kind of go through all of this, because Viva, I don't really buy the narrative that's being sold. I want to kind of focus first, though, about how this caught the left-wing media off guard, because they truly believe that this is going to be a white man who was arrested for all of this. And CNN without even looking at a picture, pushed that it was a white man, thanks to Jake Tapper. And so now they're trying to spin up this narrative as if there's something else here, like he was an election denier. What do you make of this?
Well, it is amazing when people were initially Googling the Brian Cole, there was there was a white guy with a red beard who came up, and I imagine the flack that he got for a few hours. What I love is I literally predicted that they were going to spin it that way, that it was someone who felt the election was fraudulent. By the way, it was, if only for the Hunter Biden laptop story concealment, it was a fortified 2020 election, but that they were going to blame the fact that he left a pipe bomb allegedly outside the RNC as he was angry at Rhino Republicans. That's how they're going to make this story make sense. The reality is nothing in this story makes sense. That the guy, according to the affidavit, started buying the materials for the pipe bomb a year to 2 years before the election, without explaining. I mean, we heard that he was an anarchist and that he was into pipe bomb making. Okay, I'd like to see some evidence of that. But that he was angry that the election was stolen, so he decided to fortuitously put together items that he purchased a year plus earlier to make a pipe bomb, in an affidavit where they don't even explain how he bought the components to make the black powder for the pipe bombs, because they were allegedly viable. I'm not calling anyone names. I'm just saying I don't believe this story for a second. If only from the physique of the individual, the accused right now, Brian Cole, has, according to family, uniquely short legs. He's a 30-year-old autistic, semi-verbal, allegedly, according to his grandmother, individual. Not to say that he couldn't do this, but they find him a month after Steve Baker's expose, fortuitously, based on evidence that already existed in the file, no new tips. And, you know, that's it. Don't ask any questions about this relatively thin, in my humble opinion, affidavit that says he bought these materials a year before the election, put it together because he was upset about the election, and evaded police for 5 years. Nothing about it makes sense.
Yeah, and when I asked specifically the FBI, one of my sources who's very close to the investigation, how did you narrow down to this gentleman? Because you just weren't combing through records to kind of find someone and then go there with this. It just didn't make any sense. They said there's more evidence coming out, and I was told that it was going to happen at his first court appearance. But, you know, I was on your show when I announced that. I still haven't seen any new evidence come about. And so I haven't seen any physical evidence or any proof that this wasn't just some guy possibly getting this all pinned on him. I mean, the cell phone towers, yeah, it sounds like a good argument. But again, I mean, how do you know the cell phone was in his possession at the time of all of this? I could see a C-list criminal defense attorney poking a lot of holes into just that criminal complaint that was pushed out. And I don't see it going well for them. And the autism angle, too. I know, Viva, you talk about this, too. I've got friends and family members who I know close to me who do struggle with these similar issues. And they were, and I literally write in the back of their ID, there's a note on one of these individuals' IDs for the police, if they ever interact with them, to call me immediately, because I do not want them talking to this person, because I know this person would admit to a bombing if they just kind of pinned them down to it, because they are someone who falls under peer pressure and sadly doesn't have the developmental capabilities of being able to defend themselves. And I know what this is like. So I'm concerned, although they're saying he's working with the FBI and he doesn't actually have a real criminal defense attorney representing him, I'm very concerned that this individual might end up confessing to something that he didn't actually do.
Well, we all now know who the prosecutor in this case is, Jocelyn Ballantyne, who was the same prosecutor that railroaded the Jan Sixers, Enrique Tarrio, the Proud Boys, who concealed evidence from them, who tried to coerce Enrique Tarrio into signing a false statement of fact that would have incriminated the president.
Yeah,
the
Viva, I've actually got that soundbite from your show. Let me play that so our audience knows, because you did a great job, Otario, last night about this. Folks, let's play clip 16 so everyone knows what he's talking about here. Take a listen.
They put me in a room. They slid a piece of paper across the desk with a narrative on it. And they're like, if you sign this, you'll have a bail hearing next week, and we guarantee you, you won't do a single day in prison. I pulled the document in. I looked at it. And basically, what the document said was that the president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, through the means of a third party, told me to storm the Capitol of the United States to stop the certification of the election.
May I stop you just for 1 second? Who's asking, who's sliding this paper and who's asking you to sign it?
Her name is Jocelyn Ballantyne, and she works for the Department of Justice. And she was the head of the Capitol Siege Division for the Department of Justice at the time. Sitting in the room, she's the one that offered it. I said no. And she told me to lie about the president in order to go home. And there is no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt. There's no doubt. Because at that time, Jack Smith hadn't been appointed yet. There's no doubt in my mind that one of the people that were working with Jack Smith to prosecute the president, because it was a January 6th case, she definitely worked with Jack Smith.
Yeah, that's where I want to step in, because Viva, I mean, I have spoken to Tari about this. When he was in prison, I was actually his pen pal. I'd often write him, and he did the same exact story he just told you at the same exact level of detail, was able to confirm these things to me. I even sat down with him after he was released, and it was the same story. His consistency has been key here in all of this. You wouldn't have any proof of this. You wouldn't be able to walk away with what she put in front of you. So I just want to kind of echo that, but he has been consistent in this. This woman, as you've just outlined, I'll let you continue to go to it, is the same woman who was trying to go after President Trump. In fact, also, you know, I was able to just do some basic digging, and she was also the one who was behind General Flynn. If our audience recalls, she was the one who apparently used an invalid attorney ID number when they were trying to drop those charges against Flynn. And it did, in fact, hold up things. And it was quite the amateur move. But I'll let you take away everything from there, because you've done a great job of just detailing who she is.
It's set aside whether or not you believe Enrique Tarrio's story about her trying to get him to sign a statement to incriminate Trump. Yeah. She withheld exculpatory evidence from the Proud Boys, Enrique Tarrio. And it was only discovered in the context of that persecution that they didn't delete the tabs that they had hidden. And so when it came to Enrique, they saw what was being removed from this document that had exculpatory evidence and told FBI agents to delete evidence. In Michael Flynn's case, where you had a guilty plea that the media ran with forever. He pleaded guilty. He must have been guilty, not explaining that they threatened to go after his kid and that he was coerced into a guilty plea. Now they're interrogating an autistic 30-year-old semi-nonverbal without counsel before the first hearing. It's crazy. But the other issue is that this kid, you know, by some accounts, might have been up working a DoorDash. And so, you know, whether or not his stuff is pinging in the general area, it's when you come out with an affidavit in a politically charged case that's been on, you know, not the back burner, but the forefront for 5 years. How the hell have they not found the pipe bomber? And they come up with this affidavit. It should be sort of, if we want to talk about a shock and awe, overwhelming to leave no doubt that there might be getting the wrong guy. It should have been sufficiently detailed in my humble view. People like, wait for the evidence to come in, you know, wait another 24 hours, 72 hours. Trust me, bro. You know, we really got the goods on this guy. We're just not putting it in this affidavit right now, despite the fact that we know that this is the most politically relevant case potentially in the history of America. It doesn't make much sense, especially when it comes in the wake of the Steve Baker expose that seems to have pinpointed someone else who, you know, the Blaze has retracted it, but asserted the veracity of the allegations according to their sources. So when you're coming out with this type of case and it's a U-turn that nobody saw coming, you need something more than a thin wait for the evidence to come out at trial type thing, because people are not going to wait that long, and people are going to be rightly outraged that the same perpetrators of the January 6th persecution are now in charge of this case. Jocelyn Valentine should have been fired. And according to, you know, Enrique, and you ask any of the Proud Boys, she should be in jail for what they did. It was so bad. Trump has to come in and pardon all of them. And now not only has she not been fired, she's at the helm of the most politically relevant case of our time. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, and to just to back all this up, too, I did reach out to the office that she's working out of, that D.C. office. I reached out to the DOJ for comment on why she's still employed, because, I mean, maybe best case scenario, they have no idea of what she's been accused of. And I've asked them to explain themselves. We've given them a deadline of 6 p.m. Eastern time today, I believe, to respond to this request. So hopefully we do get a response back from them, because it's really hard to understand how this woman has been able to fly under the radar. I mean, she gave Bill Barr a hard time under President Trump's first term, it sounds like, and was refusing to dismiss these charges and was creating these little obstacles for General Flynn. So to see also what she did on top of that with the Proud Boys and Tario, who's been consistent in this whole story the entire time, is pretty concerning. And again, I'm sitting back here and I'm watching this. And, you know, actually, let's get this up, because Thomas Massie, the great Congressman Thomas Massie, actually ran a poll on his X account regarding whether we believe that this 30-year-old autistic man is the one who's responsible for the J6 pipe bombers. And he asked the people, what do they think about all of this? And most people actually do have doubts. According to his own poll, others say he worked with others. It's about 44.8%. And then not involved, not guilty, is at 37.3%. The other, he's a lone wolf, guilty, 7.3%. So the American people aren't buying what the federal government's selling us right now. And I think you did a great job, Eva, outlining the fact that they keep telling us, like, I want to kind of give my audience some type of clarity in all of this. And when I say, well, how'd you get to this guy? You did a crappy job at your press conference detailing how you got to this point. All they all were really doing up there was patting themselves on the back and, you know, kind of saying, we did a great job, we did a great job, but not telling us how you got to this point. They didn't walk us through it. Why do you think this is the kind of nonsense that we're just expected to kind of spew at this point? And, you know, as someone who, you know, we're friends with a lot of these people, I've endorsed these people for their positions. If we're critical now about their performance in all of this and how they've lacked transparency, they go after us, or people get really upset with us about doing this. I mean, I don't have an issue with being critical, but they seem to have an issue with us being critical against what they've done so far.
Well, there's realities here. Yeah. Even if what they're saying is true and nobody believes it, it's a problem. So, I mean, that in and of itself is an issue. If what they're saying is true, but nobody trusts them because Kash Patel came out and made some notoriously inaccurate statements after the Charlie Kirk assassination, after the DC shooting. Mm-hmm. If what they're saying is true and no one believes it, it's a problem. If what they're saying, if they believe it, but it turns out not to be true, it's a problem. When you say, like, you know, maybe the Trump administration didn't know who this person was, maybe Jeanine Pirro didn't know who this person was, they know now. And so if they don't do anything now, that's a problem. If they didn't know, that's a problem. If they did know, it's a problem. And some people are going to raise the argument that, you know, they need bulldogs who are going to go in there and really get that conviction. If you're getting that conviction through, I won't say Brady violation, it might not be the right term, but through violating the rules of procedure that, you know, result in hiding exculpatory evidence, that results in an injustice that requires a pardon. If that's the type of bulldog prosecutor you need, you're screwing justice as well. And so there's no good reason for why this woman still had a job, how she ended up on this case. If they didn't know, it's a problem. If they did know, it's a problem. And going back to it, you know, we're expected to believe that this autistic 30-year-old, borderline semi-nonverbal with exceptionally short legs, who, according to friends and family, would never have done this, was a DoorDash driver. We don't know when, but I think that's going to come back to bite some butts at the end of this. If we're to believe that he acted totally alone but was buying materials upwards of 2 years earlier, and we don't have an explanation as to how he made the black powder at home, because there's no allegations that he bought sulfur, charcoal, whatever the heck else is needed for black powder, you know what? It starts to smell a whole hell of a lot like what happened in the Gretchen Whitmer fednapping plot, which we all acknowledge was a fednapping entrapment, at least for two of the defendants, where they find people who are mentally vulnerable, down on their luck, downtrodden, easy to manipulate, and they use them as their patsies to carry out a thwarted attack that they never would have gotten involved in but for the involvement of their agent handlers. In the Whitmer case, you know, they were training these mentally vulnerable people, financing them, giving them credit cards, and then they foil the plot. But there was such involvement of the FBI and confidential human sources that a couple of them got off on a defensive entrapment. It looks a whole hell of a lot like that might what have been at play here. And when, you know, when the team comes out And they say, no, there were new tips. We just reanalyzed the evidence. And what we saw here is a total dereliction and negligence of the past administration, the corrupt FBI under Biden. For 4 years, they just shelved it. We know that they were malicious, corrupt. One thing they were not were incompetent. And so in as much as you had Peter Stroke and Lisa Page preparing their insurance policy for a Trump presidency, you had Kevin Kleinsmith of the FBI, the lawyer, falsifying evidence to spy on Donald Trump to set up the Russiagate hoax so that if Trump got elected president, they could use that as the insurance policy to undermine him. In as much as they are corrupt and villainous, incompetent to that degree, they are not. And so for anyone to think they spent the last 4 years under Biden's FBI, a corrupt criminal FBI DOJ, not planning for this eventuality, but they just didn't look this up, this lead, they just shelved it. I don't believe that. And I think a lot, you know, the risk that this is part of what I would, you know, call the insurance plan 2.0 is very real. They're not that negligent, the FBI, and especially when they were as corrupt as the Biden FBI DOJ, they didn't just let this sit. And the only question is whether or not they were involved with this kid from before. You know, Mike Benz did a great stream where about 2 hours into it, he's like, oh, the kid was buying these items in November-ish 2020, a little earlier, right at the same time you had all of these talking heads, election integrity partnership, people talking about how to make sure that if Trump gets elected, we can undermine the election. And if he doesn't get elected, that he can't use his social media presence to rally the troops, so to speak. You know, it coincides with that. So you look at Massey's poll. 80% of the people believe he was either not a lone wolf or is innocent. And that's a problem if, in fact, we are, you know, if he did, in fact, do it and he's a lone wolf, it's a problem. Nobody believes it. But I don't think people can be blamed for just not believing this wild 180 turn out of the middle of nowhere. A lone, semi-verbal, autistic 30-year-old who evaded FBI for 5 years. And but for looking at the evidence they already had, they, you know, he might have gotten away with it.
Yeah, Viva, I can't imagine how they nailed conviction in front of a liberal jury in D.C. with what they've showed us thus far. I don't think they have that at all. I can never imagine a jury being able to convict him. And then when you look at Massey's poll, which is what conservative and independent voters, and they're not buying it either. I don't think the FBI is going to be able, or the DOJ is going to be able to make any of this stick right now. So hopefully they do have something that is very, very obvious. But for the rest of us who don't trust the government and who looked at the criminal complaint and said, this is a whole lot of maybe he did it, maybe he didn't, maybe he got this planted on him. I mean, there's a lot of questions here. We're going to keep asking those difficult questions, and I know you are as well. So for our audience, make sure you head on over to his Rumble page and give him a follow if you're not doing so already. Viva Fry, one of the incredible shows over on Rumble. Thank you for joining me, my friend. It's always great to have you on.
Thank you very much for having me, Brianna. See you soon.
See you soon. All right, folks, in the meantime, we are doing an incredible sale right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. 40% off colostrum. As many of you guys know, we ran out of stock on colostrum. We got it back, and now it's 40% off, getting ready for the holidays. So head on over and make sure you stock up right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. And I also can't stop talking about this because I'm really excited about this, but we just got the creatine gummies. Now, they're in two different flavors. Over at the AlexJonesStore.com, we have the blue raspberry flavored and sour apple flavored. Head on over right now to the AlexJonesStore.com. Grab those before you run out, because we will run out. If you are a female, no one's probably told you that you have to take creatine. I learned very late in the game, but I'm telling you, it was a total, total game changer. And the fact that these are gummies is even better. So head on over and make sure you grab yourself some of these creatine gummies while supplies last as well. It's great for muscle support, as well as boosting your energy and brain function. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. All right, there's more happening. We'll have Mark Mitchell in just a moment, who's telling us that President Trump's approval numbers are just completely sinking right now. We'll go over that in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
Nicotinamide. Now, that's a $1,000 word. But what it is the raw precursor of NAD. Now, NAD energizes the entire body, cleans out the cells. It's amazing. But most people cannot absorb raw NAD. That's why you need the precursor, which this product has from organic form, but it has so much more. Ladies and gentlemen, we are so excited to announce this new product, DNA Reviver. This doesn't just have the precursor to NAD in it. It's got all the other organic compounds, you know, to clean out your cells, give you incredible energy with no letdown and supercharge your overall health. Right now, you get this product out of the gates, massively discounted at thealexshowstore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, all the products are incredible. They all work synergistically together. But I've got to tell you, Ultra DNA Revival is a game changer for everyone. Young people, works great for them, but particularly middle-aged and older folks will really feel the difference. Now, things like our ultramethylene blue hits in 15 to 20, 30 minutes, okay? Our sea moss takes a week or so to build up. So does the bovine colostrum. Same thing with this, a week to 2 weeks, but within a month, 90%+ of people report incredible changes on every front. You need to go out and do your own research into NAD. You do your own research into all the ingredients that are in this product. Then realize this is the private label of a nationwide bestseller that has the top reviews in the country. Most of the products at thealexshowstore.com, we didn't invent. We go out. What has the highest ratings? What's the most tested? What has the best reviews? They let us private label it, and we sell it to you. That way you get a great product at a competitive price, and you keep the show on the air. So take advantage of this new product right now, Ultra DNA Revival at thealexshowstore.com, and know that it funds the second American Revolution worldwide. But if you don't get DNA Revival, you're really missing out. You owe it to yourself, your family, and your overall health to try this product. You can't lose. It funds the operation, and we know it really works. Here's some of the known effects this compound delivers. Noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes. Faster recovery and greater endurance. Sharper focus and mental clarity. Support for healthy blood sugar levels already in the normal range. Stronger immune function. Enhanced liver health and natural detoxification. Reduced everyday stress, anxiety, and protection against oxidative stress and the visible signs of aging. And it just gets better from there. Ultra DNA Revival is the newest addition to the AlexShowStore.com. We're extremely excited about it. If I could get a racehorse that had just won the Triple Crown and run it the next few races, I'd do it. It's that simple. And that's what I've done. If I could get Tom Brady at his peak to be my quarterback, I would. Well, that's how private labeling works. We go out to the top firms, the highest ratings, the best customer reviews, and we simply say, can we private label it? And in every case, they say, yeah, we can private label it. So it's not like we're reinventing the wheel. Whatever is the hottest, best reviews that people love, we go out and we get it. So when you get it, you love it. Well, that's what Ultra DNA Revival is all about. It's a private label, a best-selling brand that is simply amazing. You can empower your body, your immune system, your health, your clarity, your libido, your focus, and literally clean out your cells while at the same time funding this operation in the face of the globalists. That, my friends, is a 360 win at thealexshowstore.com.
The bat phone is ringing off the hook. The Joker is at it again.
Quick, Robin. We must analyze this threat. Do you have a location on the Joker, Robin?
Yes, he's at the abandoned warehouse on 5th Street.
I'm sick of that Newsom Joker. He's going down, Robin!
Blast you, bat brain! Must you ruin every rib-tickling riddle I concoct?
He thought he was going to get away with all of that Ultra DNA Revival!
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're kicking off the final lap, third hour on this Monday edition of the show. A lot going on over here. It was great having Diva Fry on the program to detail, which I kind of have been going through in my head as to trying to understand who the J6 pipe bomber is. You know, the FBI, DOJ, they're trying to sell you on this 30-year-old autistic man. I don't see any real... I won't see any solid evidence of that. And so it was good to have a conversation with him and go through all of that. But I want to switch gears over a little bit because I hate being a black pill. You all at home know that I try to be as optimistic as I can, but I'm also not going to lie to you. And I've been telling you guys the truth in regards to what I think is going on within the Trump administration for these last few weeks now. It's been very, very disappointing. And I'm glad to see that I'm not the only person feeling this way because, well, there's a new Rasmussen Reports poll out that highlights just that. And a lot of Americans, a lot of voters are not really siding with the president these days. Keep in mind, his approval rating was very, very high, and it's starting to tumble down right now. As of today, it looks like it's around 43%, but that's a massive, massive slide. So joining me to discuss is Mark Mitchell, the head pollster over at Rasmussen Reports. He's going to break all these numbers down for us, of course.
All right, Mark, I'm going to let you take it away from here. It looks like right now on your website, he's about 43%. Help us understand that.
Yeah, you know, I've been saying for a lot of the last couple of months, well, Trump's approval rating isn't that bad. It'll probably recover. And yet now I'm staring at a negative 12 net approval, and I'm not so sure anymore. I'm really not. Now, he hit this low in his first term a couple of times. He actually got down to a 38% approval rating, but it was when they were throwing Russian collusion at him 24/7 on MSNBC, and everybody was tuning in to Rachel Maddow, and everybody literally thought that Donald Trump was a Russian asset and they were going to pull him from the presidency. And that, you know, went away after about 6 or 7 months. People realized, well, it's kind of a hoax. And Donald Trump was starting to accomplish real things. The economy was starting to turn around. His approval rating recovered, and the last time it got to negative 12 was in May and June of 2020. Well, when was that? It was a few months into COVID. People weren't really happy with what was going on. And the summer of George Floyd riots. And in my opinion, probably a couple of optics that Donald Trump could have done better at back then. So this is not good. This is like he got way more votes. He had the right platform this time. He essentially got a mandate. And why are we looking at a negative 12 Trump approval rating? Now, I mean, there is some good news. We just did a generic ballot poll. Democrats are only up 3 points. You'd probably like to see Republicans winning, but history tells us they're not going to. And the fact that it's not a blue wave is probably a really good sign. But the really most troubling thing is that Donald Trump, sequentially, we watched it happen. First, he lost his crossover Democrat supporters. Then around Epstein and bombing Iran, he lost his independents. He got down to a negative 22% independent approval rating. That's where he's at today. And most recently, over the last couple of weeks, he started to lose some of the Republican support. So Republicans had given him approval rating in the 80s with a strong approval rating of over 60% for most of this term. Well, his strong approval hit 53%, I think, 2 days ago, and his overall Republican approval is in the high 70s. And his right direction polling for Republicans is now in the mid-60s when it was lower 70s for most of the term. So just over the last couple of weeks, the effect has been Republicans are looking at this guy and saying, well, this isn't, you know, what I voted for. Things aren't going in the right direction. What's going on here? And I think it's fair to say, just looking at some of the stuff he said, he's been all over the map. Like, he's counter-signaling his base. He's trying to argue with reporters about whether there's an affordability crisis or not. It's just not the right look. And one of the things I tweeted is that America is not the same America it was 10 years ago. And we really need a wartime president right now. We really need somebody laser-focused on the core problems facing America. And I look at what he says, and I wonder if he even really understands what they are.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of want to go through this because I think this is really important, Mark. You know, I'm really frustrated. I've tried to hold back because I didn't want to blackpill our viewers. But when I saw him going after Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, I was ticked off because I knew that was divisive and that wasn't going to work over well for him. And just a couple of hours ago, posting another post about MTG, calling her a traitor, which, again, I don't think she is. I just think that you have this dispute over the Epstein stuff. But when you're sitting here and you're building up or you're trying to take down MTG and you're building up people like Senator Lindsey Graham and you're bringing him to all these events and you're giving him exclusive access to you, the American people see through that and they see it as garbage. I mean, people are really ticked off and you keep mentioning it. I want to dig into it a little bit more, but the affordability issue, I keep hearing that they're not trying to do anything in regards to housing. I mean, that's a massive, massive loss. And it's why so many people my age and younger are turning to communists like Zohran Mamdani, because they're at least talking about housing because they understand that it's not affordable right now. There could be the foreign meetings that he's taking up right now with Saudi Arabia, Syria. I mean, all of these people who have it out for us and he's bringing them to the Oval Office. And then Epstein, I mean, you keep bringing that up too. It's another bomb that I think that they really just kind of dropped in regards to fighting back on the Epstein stuff. I mean, it was a campaign promise. He was the one who started it. Democrats did politicize it, yes. But to sit here and call it a hoax doesn't sit well with voters.
No, he's completely lost his game and is out of touch. And I only think I can blame the isolation of the White House and who he surrounded himself with. I went there 3 weeks ago. I told Alex about it. Yeah. But I talked to him for 45 minutes. He did most of the talking. But out of that 45 minutes, 10 minutes was spent about how great a golfing outing that he had with Lindsey Graham and how he loves how much Lindsey Graham plays golf. And I just don't think he understands that a lot of his base look at Lindsey Graham and look at him like this kind of like three-horned demon of neoconservative bloodlust. And not only that, Lindsey Graham has apparently been one of these really longtime supporters of big businesses and their H-1B scam that they used to sell out American workers. So when you see Donald Trump counter-signaling is based on H-1Bs, I can only suspect that it's people like Lindsey Graham who are whispering that stuff in his ear, and that's not helpful at all. And we actually talked about the housing market, and one of the things he said was like, well, you know, there's so many people that want to, you know, that we can't endanger the value of people's housing. It's like, well, it's probably coming down whether you want it to or not. And at the end of the day, it would really help a lot of people. And we polled on that. You know, a majority of Americans think the housing market is in a bubble. And almost everybody said it would be better for them if the housing market's value, the housing values were lower than if they stayed higher. And so, you know, who's he surrounded with? Who's telling him that the house values need to stay up? Well, it's either people who are super concerned about their like multi-billionaire hedge funds and they don't want to take a loss, or it's people who are home builders, like the guy that he put in charge of housing in the US. Like, these are the problems. And I ultimately said, it's like, you said a lot of stuff on the campaign stump. There was a lot of fight, 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 but there was never like, okay, fight, 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 what? It shouldn't be fight, 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 Marjorie Taylor Greene. Mm-hmm. It should be fight, fight, fight for Americans and rebuilding what he promised, the American dream, the golden age, and also draining the swamp government accountability. And he needs to be single-threaded on that, and he's not. And when he's – even the stuff he's like, okay, he's moving the Overton window right on immigration and the fraud and the migration and all the stuff happening in Somalia, that's great. Mm-hmm. But when he just attacks Ilhan Omar on Truth Social, it looks kind of impotent. Like, he owns the government. Do something about that. And that's one of the things I think the younger people want. I think they want these folks rolled up yesterday. I was watching Asmund Gold, and he was like, why are we still talking about Ilhan Omar? It's been years. Denaturalize and deport. Like, how hard is this?
Yeah. I don't like talking about it anymore, because we all know what happened here. We all know that there's marriage fraud. And yet he continues to do it as a comical joke. But you run all of this. I mean, you would be the one in charge of this. Deport our problems. Get rid of her. Send a tone. Set the message. Send the tone. Get rid of these people who have completely defrauded the system and are only sent to this country to destroy it, because there's so many of them. Even bringing Zohran Mahdani into the White House. I mean, everyone told me that, oh, Brianna, this is like 4D chess. You just don't understand it. And I'm sitting here watching, and I'm like, there's nothing behind this. There's no actual strategy here besides getting him into the White House and maybe making him a little nervous. But that's about it. I mean, there was nothing else there. I don't want to see him in the Oval Office. Our enemies are the ones that sent him to this country. They had this plotted back in 2014 before he was even a U.S. citizen. So, yeah, I'm not going to be so happy when I have to sit back and watch this. But this is what gets me kind of under my skin. And I know you guys have this latest poll up right now on your website as well in regards to the tariffs. He's proposing floating a $2,000 refund payment due to the amounts of money that's been kind of brought in through these tariffs, which sounds good. But truthfully, I mean, this is what we criticize Democrats about. Throwing money out there doesn't go well. It never really does. But you guys have just polled, and according to those who have taken this poll, 62% of likely U.S. voters approve of President Trump's proposal to give $2,000 in refund payments to low and middle income households. Now, that would be funded by the tariffs, of course, but I don't think people understand the long term ramification of just getting money and just dishing it out as a member of the federal government at this point.
Well, I mean, they kind of do, because if you look at the second question, right? Mm-hmm. So we ask, okay, do you want a $2,000 check? And of course, Americans are going to say yes. And it was, like you said, a really high majority. But especially Republicans. Republicans really like it. And a lot of that is because it has the word Trump in it. But if you look at the independents, and these are people who are going to be younger and more hurting financially, only 54% of them want it and 34% don't. So it's not like buying vote levels of popularity. But the next question, instead of using tariff revenue to give refund payments, would it be better to use that revenue to reduce the federal budget deficit? And then people say yes, 45% to 29%. It's like, no, actually, thanks for the offer, but government, you need this more than us. You used it. We literally found that signal in the poll. It's unbelievable. Republicans are most likely to say that, 49 to 26. And you know what I mean? At this point, it's like, what are we even doing? That's not what people voted for Trump. When you promise the American dream, and then you say no, don't talk to me about affordability. And then your White House puts out tweets that say we're already in the American dream. And then you say, well, no, but here's a check. It's just not good enough. And that's why I think that this is ultimately a crisis of leadership, because we do have good people in the administration. People can attack Tom Homan all they want. I think he's doing a phenomenal job. I think 2.2 million people out of this country is an incredible start. And we're going to have more of that. Lady in charge of the DOL, everything that she says, bang on. Like, keep going. Sue all these companies, you know, hold them accountable for abusing these systems. I think Scott Bessent's doing a good job. Like, I think a lot of these people are doing a good job. Pete Hegseth is the exact person that we need in that job, doing the exact right thing. He needs to single-mindedly focus the military on killing people and breaking things, period. A weapon that is pointed by Congress or the president, depending on where we're at, right? But the problem is that there's no unified front here. These people are taking flak. Donald Trump should be giving them air cover, not like throwing misdirection out there and counter-signaling people. And it's like, no, we need a wartime president who understands that this is an attack against a conservative movement that's trying to reform government and the capitalist system. And it's like, well, he kind of is sort of plugged into the oligarchy right now. And I said this in the White House. I said, sir, you need to smash the oligarchy and not be the oligarchy. And it was incredible. Susie like lit up immediately. She's like, oh, that's good. We got, that's right. And I don't think that hit home. And I can only surmise that it's the people who he's talking with or whatever, but there needs to be a real plan. And I applaud them delegating affordability to Scott Bessent. I really do. But I think, again, he'll do a good job. I know he's out there talking to people and putting things together. But it's like you promised a golden age. People need to see a path about how we are going to get there. Scott Bessent can't do that all himself.
Yeah, he can't. And, you know, it's all these contradictions, too. You know, immigration, I think, is one of the president's strongest angles, points to all of this, though. He's done a great job on that. DHS, Kristi Noem, I think, is doing a good job, too, over there. She's got a great team of people working behind her. But, you know, he struck a lot of people the wrong way when he went out there and announced this plan to bring in 600,000 Chinese students, what they call them, but they're actually CCP spies. And I want to keep highlighting that, not using the same verbiage as they want us to use. But and you guys recently polled on this too, and 43% of likely U.S. voters support the proposal, which I thought was kind of concerning in all of this. What did you make away from all of this?
Well, this is like another one of those things where you run the top line poll and, okay, you could get the result you want. And this is what most people in Washington, D.C., and they do it, for instance, with H-1Bs, too. If you just say, well, should we take people who are talented from the rest of the world? People are like, oh, yeah, sure, we should do that. But then if you actually like dig into the underlying thing, you're like, well, it's probably going to get abused. Like people, if they learn more about it, probably don't like it. First thing that stood out to me is that, yes, it was split. It was basically 43-44. But there was no party signal at all, which is weird because we also said that it was a Trump thing. And so normally when you do that, the Republican numbers are off the chart, but Republicans, only 44% of them supported this, only 15% strongly supported. And, you know, I think, again, I'm the kind of person that might be, you know, pushing back on this. I was in higher education, and we certainly had a CCP asset in our learning team at Wharton. And the way that this works is that over there, if you're ambitious and you're climbing the ladder and you're going to go to the U.S. to attend a school, you're almost certainly a part of the CCP. Like, you can literally ask the AI, like Grok will tell you that 30-40% of the people probably coming over here are card-carrying members, like literally have it on their resume or whatever. But then we said, okay, well, Trump has said that the number of Chinese students were reduced. Many colleges would go out of business. Should the number of Chinese students be reduced, even if it causes some colleges to go out of business? Mm-hmm. Because he said to Laura Ingraham, well, we can't have these colleges going out of business, while there was riots at a Turning Point USA event in Berkeley at the same time on TV. And people say yes, 39% to 37%. Republicans say yes, 58% to 24%. So Republicans are over 2-1, like well over 2-1 in favor of seeing colleges shut down if it means reducing the number of Chinese students. And this gets back to, again, all these policies that he's pushing. He has done good. And you can tell that somebody somewhere in the administration knows what they're supposed to be doing. But this is a bailout for colleges. Let's call it what it is. Mm-hmm. And you know what else? I was doing some research. His H-1B fee. Now, I think Project Firewall is great. They're going to go after like the H-1B program that is stealing the very best jobs that Americans have. In my opinion, this is like the top three thing that is screwing over people under 40. And it's something that Donald Trump should understand, which I don't think he does. He should understand this more than anything else, especially because it appears increasingly that his administration's ties with India are going to be under more scrutiny. But when they came out with that fee, a lot of people said, oh my God, like Donald Trump is actually going to go after H-1Bs. But if you look at the fine print, what it does is that it carves out the student path for the visas. And so all it really is doing is it's taking all these people from India who would just come straight over, charging a fee on them so that they get pushed through the school system. So literally what you're going to see next week, next year when this fee kicks in, is you're just going to see a bunch of increase in applications to Cracker Jack master's degree mills in the U.S. And quite frankly, it'll probably be even harder for some U.S. students to get into STEM programs because they're going to be flooded with Indians who are coming over here so they don't have to pay the fee. And that gets back to the third question that students set. Should qualified American high school students get a priority for admissions over foreign students? Like, how hard is this? Yeah. And the answer is yes, 71% to 17%. So it's just weird. He's out there signaling the right things, moving the Overton window right. The guy tweeted about Hart Celler, and yet he's doing and saying all of these things. It's like he's not even the person putting his Truth Social posts out. He can't keep moving the Overton window right and then governing by moving it left. It's not going to work.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the people are catching on to it too. I think that's where a lot of these frustrations come from, Mark. And it's really just, it's frustrating to sit back and watch. And I don't see much getting done. And I actually just found this one, and I know I didn't give you a heads up on this one, but this was on your website. So I'll lay it out now. But you guys actually just put up a poll last week, and this one's really, really good. In regards to election fraud, the president saying, again, this was a top priority for him. I haven't seen anything done to combat the election fraud that's taking place. But this one specifically is about the voting machines and whether or not Americans trust it. And interesting enough, 63% of likely U.S. voters are concerned with the electronic voting systems may allow votes to be changed remotely through the internet connections during voting. I mean, that's a massive, massive number. And again, he's not even touching this issue. Now, I don't understand why we're not touching it. Tina Peters trying to sound the alarm on all of this, and she's still sitting right now in state prison in Colorado. And sadly, all he does is post Truth Social posts about free Tina Peters, but they're not pulling any federal funding from Colorado. They're not really trying to put Colorado state officials' feet to the fire on freeing Tina Peters. They're just throwing it out there, and nothing's being done about the election machines either. What do you make of it?
Yeah, 100%. And then we also have a massive naval flotilla surrounding Venezuela. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's, we haven't really pulled on Venezuela. The numbers aren't out yet. I think we're getting them back today. Yeah. I don't know if that's what's necessarily affecting his approval rating. But if it were, you know, there's a really easy solution, and that is tie it to election integrity. If it really is about election integrity, tie it to election integrity, because we've pulled on this. We're the only ones at all that pulled on this, and it got us on a CIA list, right? And we've done dozens and dozens of these question sets, and they've proved overwhelmingly that Americans actually do believe the big lie that our elections are completely corrupt, and they don't trust the machines at all. They think they're connected to the internet. That's not a good thing when the actual companies that administer these things say that they're incapable of them. And so when you have this kind of cognitive dissonance, this complete lie, this where the system says, no, it's this way, and everybody in America is like, no, we're pretty sure you're just full of crap. Like, these things need to be resolved. And this is what's happening everywhere. Every single federal agency was corrupted under the Biden administration. And this is, I've been harping on this. We need to see brutal government reform that includes the election systems. Mm-hmm. But you have everybody out there like attacking Kash Patel and Dan Bongino. Well, you haven't reformed the FBI, guys. And they say, well, look at all this stuff we tweeted. Well, I just did a poll, and 83% of Trump voters still think the FBI and CIA and other government agencies need major reforms. Mm. So whatever they've put out, it hasn't been enough. And that includes with elections. But the weird thing is that Donald Trump will still tweet impotently about Tina Peters being in jail. Well, it's like, I've seen many, many measures in our polling that people are kind of like done with following the rules. Like, we, you know, we have lots of people ready to impeach judges, arrest people involved in Arctic Frost, arrest people in the auto pen scandal. We had a pretty big signal of people who wanted to like ignore judges, including people under 40. We even have people under 40 who are ready to give governance over to an advanced AI. Like, that's kind of where we're at right now. And the true socials are not helping it. And I think it's going to emerge potentially as people getting to a point where they're willing to call it a pattern of Donald Trump jangling the keys. And that would be a really horrible place, because I don't know how you can rebuild the momentum, recover your approval rating, if there's that kind of like emperor with no clothes moment. And that's what I'm afraid of, because I think this movement's important. I think it needs to continue, but there needs to be better leadership.
Yeah. And Mark, we're less than a year in, so I guess there is time for a turnaround. I just don't see that there is desire for a turnaround. We do see reports that in the new year, this is mainstream reports, so I don't really trust it, but they say that there's going to be some type of big changes taking place. We saw Andrew Bailey get shifted over to the FBI as a position that we never seen brought on before, the co-deputy director. And so according to people who have reached out to me, that's because he's going to be preparing to take over at the AG's office for Pam Bondi. But again, I mean, you know, the president just kind of not pushing back enough and pushing back on key issues. I mean, when his picks aren't getting confirmed by Senate Republicans, he was so kind and just said, oh, well, it's going to cost me too much political capital. But then whenever he had the option to go after, you know, Congressman Marjorie Taylor Greene, he went after her with all full force, calling her a traitor. And so now we have all these softies, including Pam Bondi, who I sat there and watched her confirmation hearing and said, oh, well, they're not really pushing back much on Pam Bondi, which probably isn't a good sign. And, you know, Kash Patel also, I would say, had it pretty easy getting confirmed as well. For me, that was the clear indicator that this wasn't going to work out. And I was a little worried. But I mean, now we're several months into this and the changes that need to happen, Mark, aren't happening. And, we, you know, we just had a press conference last week where they all took turns tapping each other on the back and saying, great job, great job. But they didn't show us any actual hard evidence. And then I was told when I reached out, like, how did you get to this suspect? Talk about the J6 pipe bomber. I'm reading through the criminal complaint. How did you go to map out his data to go find out where he was, his pin, his cell phone down? And they said, oh, more evidence coming. But there was no evidence that was revealed.
What about the 300 federal agents? What about all those agents that were there that probably still work for the FBI? Mm-hmm. Nobody gives a crap about the pipe bomber. J6 was a psyche, a scar on the psyche of America. Yeah. Like, it was a really messed up psychological operation that needs to be reverted. And we've lost an entire year on this. You could say the Trump administration has got another 3 years. I don't think it does at all. Mm-hmm. I'm looking around and again, looking at a Democrat plus three generic ballot, it's probably as good as you can expect. And I don't know if that's enough for Republicans to win. I think Republicans actually could win in this environment if they did stuff. But you can already see the establishment knives are out. I mean, all of these, you know, like Reagan this and like DeSantis is posting really rational stuff like right now. The establishment is going to reassert itself and the political capital is going to be gone. But if he wants to win again, it's got to be like it was back in February and March. And that is literally us waking up in a cold sweat every morning trying to keep up with the frantic news because everything's coming crashing down. Yeah. That's what it's got to be, and it's not right now.
It's not right now. Mark Mitchell, thank you for all the incredible work you do at Rasmussen Reports. We appreciate you, as always, taking all of the polling questions that we want to know more about and breaking it down for us on our show. So thank you, Mark. All right, folks, in the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It's 40% off colostrum while supplies last for the next few hours, so make sure you go there right now. Alex is up next on The Alex Jones Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us, we might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Ooh, 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 ooh.